I wasn't here when the question was asked, but that doesn't prevent me from having the answer. One of the interesting things I find about the world today is that the less developed countries, so-called, have cash that is being borrowed by the more developed countries. So I question who's more developed and who's less developed. If the less developed countries have more cash, maybe they're more developed than we are. So I'd like to talk about one experience in terms of barriers to sustainability, innovation, and its profitability. And that is something you wouldn't suspect, and I didn't when I started out. I thought that my best friends were going to be the government bureaucrats in places like the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality, California Air Resources Board. I thought that when I took innovative technologies to these state agencies, they were going to jump for joy and expedite approval of our products, and that we were going to be on the road to riches. And I discovered that in the path to profitability, really our biggest obstacles have been the middle level of the government bureaucracies who have agendas that are different from the political leaders. I get really inspired, you know, when I turn on the TV every day and all of the top government officials are saying all the right things. And I think, wow, this is just great. And then you try to get a new technology approved, and what you discover is one of the hard truths of really the economy and civilization itself is that all systems resist change, even change for the better. And so we, a real life example is that we financed the very first fuel additive in the history of the world to reduce pollution from diesel. And diesel was even a very high priority of the EPA because the particulate matter from school bus diesel gets into the lungs of little children before they have adequate defenses, and it's proven to cause respiratory disease. And so when we introduced the world's first fuel additive that was proven in CARB-approved laboratories to reduce particulate emissions from diesel, we thought, wow, the state officials are gonna love this. Well, the reality is it's taken us 5 years to get the California Air Resources Board to approve our product. And the good news is once California approves it, it's approved. We thought we were in better shape in Texas. It took them only 6 months to approve it. The problem was they approved everybody else's products, none of which worked. So in Texas, we had the exact opposite problem. In California, we couldn't get approved at all. In Texas, they approved anything and everyone, including all the products that didn't even work. In fact, we had one product that was literally rubbing alcohol being purchased in bulk by one of the competitors, and on the loading dock they were paying people not to remove the rubbing alcohol label but to lick and stamp over the label that it was nanotechnology derived, mumbo jumbo that would solve all of life's ills and so forth. And the Texas Commission approved that too. So the actual implementation of a lot of these things is very difficult. In general, the system does not like being changed by anyone for any reason. And I think that the only time I've ever seen the government act proactively is in the last 3 months. I've been at this 10 years, and this is the only time I've ever seen actual action, and I'm still mystified by it. But anyway, that's real life experience. Jennifer?
Thank you. For those of you who weren't in the third room over there, I'm Jennifer Nolan. I'm the Manager of Sustainability and Environmental Affairs with Ostrom Sylvania. We are a lighting company, and inevitably I get the question, as I did today, what about LEDs? Isn't that the future? Isn't that the most innovative product? And the answer is yes, absolutely. So why aren't they in ceiling? Why aren't we buying them? LEDs are technology that is running as quickly as possible. Constantly, we're making leaps and bounds. And Dr. Chips over there can attest to that. His group is working very hard on LEDs. All of the lighting industry is looking to the near future, where LEDs will be the lighting technology of choice. What we're also seeing, and this is a very timely question, government regulations. How many of you know that the incandescent light bulb will be phased out starting in 2012? Ooh, that's not good. All right. 5 years from now, the incandescent light bulb, as you know it today, will disappear. So the question then becomes, for a lighting company, with the technology that we have with LEDs and where we're heading, combined with the regulations on the federal level and the state level, where do we invest? Where do we invest our money? Do we invest it in LEDs, hoping that we can make quicker leaps and bounds so that we have cost-effective replacements for the current technologies? Or do we invest our money in meeting the regulations with improvements on existing technology? So with the federal regulations on the incandescent lamps, state regulations on manufacturer responsibility and collecting and recycling CFLs, for example, there is quite a bit of convergences of where, leading to the question of where do we invest our money? So that, I think, is the biggest barrier for the lighting industry right now.
So it's the uncertainty of regulation. Regulation could be a driver, but it's the uncertainty of where it's going.
Well, no, we know where it's going, but then you have to if the incandescent lamp is disappearing in 2014, do we invest in halogen technology? Do we work, our R&D folks very hard to come up with alternative incandescent and halogen technologies? Do we try and put more money in LEDs, hoping that we can, you know, bring that cost down? Do we focus on CFLs, which right now are the product category that can meet those regulations? So it's a question of, you know, not knowing the future, knowing what the current regulations are, but not knowing what the future and where to invest. Right.
Okay.